Let's face facts. 2020 hasn't been the best year. Just when we think things can't get any worse, somehow they do, despite our best efforts. None of us are immune from the steady progression of pain and grief that this year has supplied. Will it get better? Yeah, sure it will. But when will it get better? I'm not so sure. Because we're unsure of when our healing will come, it's easy for us to worry, to get restless, and yes, to even lose faith. All because we've decided to follow Jesus doesn't mean that we're always faithful in our following. More often than we'd like to admit, we stray, we lose focus, and we wind up feeling isolated and alone. On the journey of life, it's easy for sin to creep into our lives and convince us to follow a different path than the one that Jesus calls us to walk. These paths look attractive. They promise minimal pain and maximum pleasure. They cater to our wishes and our wants. While these paths will undoubtedly take us somewhere, is that somewhere the best place for us to be? As Paul argues throughout today's scripture, the answer to that question is absolutely not. For while there are many roads that lead to enlightenment, entertainment, and ease, there's only one road which leads to life, and only a few will find and take this road. Why? Because the road is rough. The lessons learned upon it are difficult to accept. And to make it all the way, you'll have to give up more than you might be comfortable with. But in the place of these pains and pressures, this road offers us something that no other road, path, or leader can. Life. And not just any life, but a redeemed life, a purpose-filled life, a life that has no end. Jesus offers this life to each of us. But in order for us to experience it, we have to stay on the road and keep our eyes focused on Him. And trust me, that's a lot easier said than done. But as today's scripture shows us, what we experience on this road, as difficult as it might be, will lead us to something far better than any other road can offer us. To start our journey on this road, let's begin by reading Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are His heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Right off the bat, Paul's confronting something that we know in our world today as FOBO, the fear of better options. With a world that offers us so much, we don't want to miss out on anything. We don't want our options to be limited in any way. We crave the freedom to do it all, even when the things we want to do stand in opposition to each other. Case in point, how are Christians supposed to live? By the Spirit or by the flesh? Contrary to popular belief, not everything about us changes once we decide to follow Jesus. Sure, we're saved, we're redeemed, and set apart, but that doesn't mean that we're perfect. Far from it. Christians sin all the time, and it's because we live in a constant state of tension. This tension comes from being citizens in two competing kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the physical world in which we live. So naturally, from time to time, we'll find ourselves straying out of the kingdom of God and slipping back into the sinful pleasures of the world in which we live. Now, Paul knows all this, and so he's quick to remind all of us that living by the Spirit will lead to life, while living by the flesh will lead to death. far from being overdramatic. Paul's warning cuts through the white noise of this world in order to make sure that we stay on the right path and don't wander off. After all, how do we stray off the path that leads to life? Not by making some singular, massive detour. Rather, we stray off the path by making little, seemingly inconsequential movements that deceive us into thinking that we're still on the road moving in the right direction. That is, until we lift up our heads, look around, and realize that we're not in Kansas anymore. To the extent that it's possible, Paul wants our life with Christ to be one of constant motion, one that keeps us moving in the right direction. After all, to fall behind or fall off the road altogether is exactly what Satan wants us to do. Because the more distance he can put between you and Jesus, the more likely it is that he can enslave you once again when faced with the struggles that Satan puts in our way. Christians will often be tempted to give up the fight and theoretically go back to Egypt, back to the place of slavery. Even though we've left our bondage behind, there are many times when it would seem much easier to be enslaved to sin once again. Just think about it. No more battles, no more sense of an uphill struggle, no more feeling torn between two worlds. While that actually sounds quite nice, we have to admit, this embrace of enslavement also means no more inheritance to look forward to, no living presence of God to experience, and no sense of companionship with Jesus himself. For if we choose to live by the flesh and fully embrace our citizenship in a sinful world, we cannot claim to be God's children. And if we cannot claim that all-important identity, then we forego the inheritance we receive as heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. For as Paul reminds us here in verse 17, in order to share in God's glory, we must also share in his sufferings, the sufferings which come from walking the road to redemption and embracing our citizenship in the kingdom of God. Paul builds upon this theme of endurance and hope throughout the remainder of today's scripture, as seen in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Paul begins where the previous paragraph left off, with the promise that our present sufferings, as intense as they may be, will be far outweighed by the glory that has yet to be revealed. This glory that Paul's talking about allows us, the children of God, to share in Jesus' rule over the whole world. That, in a nutshell, is what this world's been waiting for. It's waiting for us, you, me, and all God's children, to be revealed so that we can rescue this world from corruption and bring the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ to everyone. Now, obviously, we're not able to save the world on our own. Only Jesus can. But as Christians, the path we're called to walk is the path that leads to freedom, freedom from sin, oppression, and even death. And by walking along this road, we're called to do everything we can to invite others to walk this road with us so that they can experience for themselves the true and ultimate freedom that is found in Christ. taken as a whole. The witness of Scripture helps us to remember that God has not forgotten us in our struggles. He has already redeemed us, and one day soon He will rescue us. And not only us, but the entire world. But that rescue doesn't come without us fully embracing our responsibilities as God's children, and it doesn't come without its own share of sufferings and struggles. Nevertheless, we rest in the hope that God will deliver us. And in doing so, the citizens of His kingdom will be witnesses to the world, witnesses who can testify to God's faithfulness and love. As Paul reminds us in verse 21, the creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. In light of this glorious future that awaits those of us who are in Christ, Paul now addresses the suffering of God's people in the present. We are, he says, longing for the time when we ourselves will be fully and finally redeemed. Until then, we groan and moan as we experience the tension between the glorious promise of the future and our present reality full of suffering, struggles, and pain. This tension, it's encapsulated in the fact that the Spirit is already at work within us, but has not yet completed the task of our full renewal. In essence, we have the first fruits of the Spirit's life, but the full harvest has yet to come. But it will come. Until that time, the whole creation is in labor, longing for God's new world to be born. The church and its people are called to share that pain and that hope. After all, the church isn't meant to exist apart from the pain of the world. Rather, we're called to enter that pain and cover it with prayer, to cover this world in the healing love of Christ and assure it of the ultimate healing that's yet to come. So friends, let us stay on this rough and rocky road together as we live for Christ now and as we await the glorious, hopeful future that is promised to us and all of God's children. Would you pray with me? God, as we stand in your love, as we stand in your redemption and salvation, God, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to remember what you have done and what you are still doing for us. And God, as we fix our eyes on you, God, allow us to stay on the path that leads us further and further to you and your kingdom. And as we walk this road, help us to do everything we can to bring others along with us, so that they too can experience the new life, the life by the Spirit that you invite us to experience. So God, we thank you and we love you, and we thank you for being faithful to us always. Amen.